And today I'm reading out of God's love for man, the first chapter. I love this chapter. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving His Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence. And failing to find suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of this love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. 1 John 3:1. What a value this places upon man. Through transgression, the sons of man became subjects of Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may become worthy of the name sons and daughters of God. Woo! Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for paying it all for us. You counted us worth it. The pearls of great price. We are your people. Lord, forgive us for those moments, for those times when we've thought that we are no good, when we thought that we're trash, and we thought that we're incapable for the awesome and mighty things that you want to do through us. Thank you, Lord, for calling humble vessels broken instruments to display your glory and proclaim your great name in all the world. And somehow you make a beautiful sound out of broken instruments, and people are led to Christ, and souls are won, and we give you glory for all that. Thank you for what you're about to do in this moment. Thank you for what you're about to do in this conference. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for paying it all for me and for all my friends here today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone. Can cleanse the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Now this isn't up on the screen, but it's a simple little chorus. Oh, praise the one that paid my debt. Here we go.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Sing it. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised raise this life up from the dead again. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead.
Amen.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed me white as snow. Jesus paid it. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So what do you do with that? Serve him, right? Give him all. Give your life. Wow. And that's our next song. You know, if this turns into our theme song for the week, hallelujah. This is a song called Here I Am, Lord, by Daniel Shute. How many of you know this song? Yeah, if you know it, help me out. Not everyone here will know it, but this is Here I Am, Lord. This is our response to his call for our life. Let's sing it.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will I am, Lord.
your prayer, sing it out.
Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night.
Are you gonna go?
I will go.
Good morning. How's everyone doing this week? We're doing good? Are we still blessed?
Amen.
All right, amen. Hey, we have some, this one as well, please. We have some amazing news we want to start sharing with you guys. And it's exciting, so I'm going to let Pastor Tim and Pastor DW be part of this. So here we go.
So, I know DW is going to pray in a minute, but let's pray. This is just too good without rejoicing in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to share good news. We want to be a team where we communicate all good things. We don't want to just share the trials. We want to share the victories. And so we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So last night, Walter and the three of us, we had a meeting with the voice of prophecy. And the voice of prophecy heard what's going on in this room. And the entire voice of prophecy with Sean and the rest of them prayed for every single one of you this morning at 8 o'clock. And they're so excited what's happening in Mountain View that they would like to partner with us for the future. Isn't it beautiful? Sean's looking today at his calendar to see if he can make it to 2023 camp meeting. The different ones there, which you may not know, Kurt Johnson, Bill Payne, different ones there who are leading out. Brother Hernandez, Brother Alex Rodriguez, different ones are looking at their schedules. And they said that if we'd like to have them send their team to help train us next year for next year's Bible work training, that they'd like to come. Amen?
Amen.
And they'd like to help provide different seminars and evangelism resources. And they'd even help us with advertising. They started dropping some names last night for some funding. God is good. Yeah. I just thought that was too good a news not to share. We can't keep good things inside. So let me have a teaching moment with you. Every time you have a piece of good news, it's your opportunity to glorify God. We need to rehearse the great and mighty acts of God and share them with more people so they can experience the goodness of His grace. You know, far too often we have people that are eager to share the tidbit of gossipy, juicy news. Have you heard? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our entire conference were passing on the juicy good news of Jesus and His soon return.
Amen.
So we were just overwhelmed with the goodness of God and His grace. Can you begin to see good things happening in the Mountain View Conference like never's
Amen.
Happened before?
Amen.
I can feel it. I know it. I'm experiencing it. We prayed for 40 people to come to this week. And then our super goal was 50. And we got 82. Now, that's only a miracle by God.
Amen.
And guess what? You're part of answering God's miracles.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. How do you feel about being the answer to prayer? Above and beyond, the Bible says, if we ask any good thing in His name, He will give it to us. And it will be so big that it will be have to be pressed down and we have to shake it because the blessings will overflow.
Yes.
Amen? And the really good part is that you, who are hearing me, are a part of God's blessings and answer to prayer. And you will be used by God for the next portions of this miracle. Don't even know where it's going to go, but I think that it's going to be bigger and better than we can even imagine. What do you think, Tony?
Absolutely. I'm excited. I am thrilled. I'm excited, and I can't wait.
How many here this morning is willing to continue to be in the saga of this answer of prayer? Come on now. It's obvious you're sitting here, but we might as well stir the heart and make that little impression that I'm going to be used by God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray for. Go ahead, Tony.
Let's pray for my brother. Everyone being blessed by DW, right?
Yeah.
All right. Father God, Lord, we ask you right now to place your hands on your selected speaker for this week, this morning's. And right now, please speak through him and bless him with a portion of the Holy Spirit today. We thank you for all you do for him, and please be with his family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning.
How are we all doing? We having a good week? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you know I'm going to say another quick prayer here. Father in heaven, we praise you for this day and waking up. It's warmer outside. Reminds us of the seasons and also the seasons in our life. Father, I commit my spirit here to you. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured out into today's message. Hide me behind the shadows of your cross so that we will only hear and see Jesus. Father, we need your Holy Spirit. We need your help here in the Mountain View Conference. So encourage us and give us the strength that we need to tell others about Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' precious name, who we give the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen, amen. And amen. So today, this is Tell Somebody About Jesus, day 3. Which really, it's our fourth day together, but the third day that we're going to get into this subject. And a lot of times you may have heard me talk about being born to serve, but we're going to talk about it in a different aspect today. Because we're going to talk about being born to serve the Word. And we're going to talk about how you can be living and active and consumed by the everlasting Word of God. Amen? And as we head into this third day of Tell Somebody About Jesus, I hope and pray that you are beginning to take on each day with greater hope and joy, knowing that you are not out here on your own or alone. Amen? But not only that, you have a loving Father and a Creator that gave everything to bring you close to Him. Amen? And this week I've been so excited about the topic, telling somebody about Jesus Christ. Amen? And today we're going to talk about being living and active as we are born to serve the Word. Amen? And this is one of the most essential and key things for us as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Psalm 119, 89 to 97. And it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. For your faithfulness endures to all generations, and you establish the earth, and it abides." They continue this day according to your ordinance, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. Amen. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. Amen? I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. And oh, how I love your law, for it is my meditation all the day. Amen? And it says in the NIV, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens, it endures, and for your law endures to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. In verse 94, the Word of God says, save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. And oh, how I love your law, and I meditate on it all day long. Amen? I love the way that King David is talking about his relationship with God and his love and his passion for the very Word of God. And when I read Psalms 119 or any other portions of how David talks about the very Word of God, it stirs me, it inspires me to read, to study, and to engage in the everlasting gospel, to engage in God's Word at another level. But for some people, for some of us, the thought of sitting down and consistently reading the Bible seems crazy to us. Because we're so busy with school. We're so busy with work. We're so busy with baseball games and basketball games and so busy with television and all these things that are going on in the world that we're too busy to sit down and not just read our Bibles, but also study our Bible. You see, we can't just study the Word, but we got to read the Word too. Amen? So you got to read the Word, and you got to study the Word. And we also need prayer, don't we? Because we're not going to understand the Word without what? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You see, some people think reading the Word of God is boring, and I think that the problem is that many people don't engage in His Word because we see it as more as schoolwork or knowledge to study as a religious obligation. Lord, have mercy on us. You see, I've heard many people say something like this: I should read the Bible. If I'm going to be a good Christian, I guess I should read the Bible. Well, maybe you just see it as a list of rules or a manual you just read if you get stuck in life. Amen? You see, I heard a pastor, and now I'm seeing him in the back. And one day I heard him preaching a sermon about all these lists of things that you would have to do to get to heaven. But we don't have to go through all these lists of things that we have to do to get to heaven. We just need Jesus. We need to be saved by Jesus. The rest comes after that. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us to follow this list of things. We aren't Sabbath keepers on our own. We are Sabbath keepers because of the Holy Spirit. You didn't just learn about the Sabbath by yourself. Did you? No. God revealed it to you, didn't He? Amen? Do you remember that moment when you received the unadulterated biblical truth, the Word of God, and you understood the Sabbath. Do you remember that moment? But you see, all these lists, all these things that we want to talk about, they really are unimportant if you don't love your brethren, if you don't love God, and if you aren't in the Word of God, if you don't have a relationship with God, this list of things that you are supposed to follow doesn't matter. You see, God's Word is different than any other book. You see, He's separated from all other authors in history because in the book of the Bible, there are more prophecies that have come true than any other book in history. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This is New King James Version. I'm going to read the Amplified Version here for you. For the Word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, in the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and the intention of the heart. Amen. You see, the Word of God is beyond just words, brothers and sisters. It's not like the other books, even though there are so many great books out there. And I think it's great to read and grow, to invest in yourself. But the Bible is more than a self-help or some inspirational read. There's something active. There's something living. There's something life-giving in every single word. And it breathes and speaks life into us as we read the Word. Amen? You see, the verse we just read says that the Bible is living and active. It's not simply a passive historical document, although it is one of the most sound and proven historical documents ever. The Bible, or God's Word, is active today to speak and breathe life into our daily lives. It is active, and it's at work in each of our lives this very day, or you would not be here. Amen? You see, in a chemical formula, there's an agent of some kind that is introduced that produces a certain reaction. It activates it, right? The Holy Spirit of God breathes His power and His life into each word. Amen? Should I say that again? He breathes it into each word. Amen? So it's more than just words on a page. It's more than just good thoughts, for it has been activated by the very living God, which means that it will produce results in your life that no other book can. Amen? So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 in 16 and 17. I'll give you a moment to get there. I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible again. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. The Word of God says, "For all Scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage." Amen. And verse 17 goes on to say that so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, there's life in God's Word that changes you when we come into contact with it. Amen? Anyone who consistently engages the Bible during their daily lives will experience transformation in their lives. They will change in their heart and their minds and their soul because they will be emptied of their selves and they will be filled up with the Holy Spirit as they pray for it. And if you encounter the living word, if you have an actual encounter with God and allow it to get into your thoughts, your heart, your habits, and your relationships, then you will experience the change agent of the Spirit-empowered Word of God. In Psalm 119 and 130, Psalm 119 and 130 says, "For the unfolding of your words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple." You see, some of you grew up in homes that loved and read the Word of God. Amen? But most grew up in environments that were dysfunctional and very uninterested in what the Bible actually says. In fact, as a result, the home is so far away from God and far from the transformative life that flows from God's words. It flows from the pages of the everlasting truth. But the good news is, brothers and sisters, that no matter your past or your current situation that you're in and that you are facing, even if the last few generations of your family have been dysfunctional, everything can change when one person decides to fully embrace and live out God's word. Now let's talk about how to engage and experience the full value and benefit of God's living and active word in our lives. This is exciting because the word of God is one of the primary ways that God wants to speak to us. And if you ever wanted God to speak to you, then the good news is that you can hear from God every day. There's two things we have to do to access that wisdom and power of God's word. Amen? Number one, we have to consume it. So let's take a look at this passage of scripture here. And it speaks to the consuming the word of God and the bread of heaven, which is Jesus. Amen? And in John 6, verses 28 to 35, the word of God says, "And then they asked him, 'What must we do to the works God requires?' And Jesus answered, 'The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent.' So they asked him, 'What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?' And in verse 31, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven.'" Amen? "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So again, I'm going to say something I said yesterday. Bible study is what got you into the church, and Bible study is what's going to keep you in the church. Amen. It goes on to say, "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And this is a very powerful passage where Jesus is helping people make the connection between the supernatural bread that God sent his people from heaven in the wilderness to himself. If you haven't heard that before, that Jesus is the bread, he is the sustaining life of heaven. You see, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word and that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? And when it comes to consuming God's Word, brothers and sisters, we need to remember this. When you're at a dinner table, it's about manners and about being polite and waiting your turn, right? But you don't apply those rules to your spiritual dinner table, do you, of consuming God's Word? You see, you want to get as much of God's word into your life as possible. That's why we got to get up early. That's why we need to be reading God's Word early in the morning and praying for the Holy Spirit to lead us through our days, to guide our steps, to direct our steps. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, we have to consume God's Word like our life depends on it. You want to know why? Because it does depend on it. Amen? If you want strong relationships, consume the Word. If you're married and you want to see your marriage growing, consume the Word. You want to raise great children? Consume the Word of God. Are you hoping for a better and a healthier life? Consume the Word of God. I lost 110 pounds. Amen? Let's give the glory to God for that. Amen? You got to consume the Word. We got to surrender to the Holy Spirit. You see, the principles of God's Word are life and light to every area of our lives. And in a natural sense, if you feed your body, then it remains healthy. But when you starve your body, you'll find that your body becomes drained of energy. It needs, and then it doesn't perform at the very level that it needs to. You see, if we consume the Word of God, because the health and the strength of our lives depends on it. Have you ever tried to change a habit? It can be very weird at first. It can be difficult. But when you stay at it, things begin to change and you begin to enjoy it. There's a new food that maybe you're not used to, and sometimes it takes a minute for you to develop that appetite or a taste for it. Maybe when you were younger, you didn't like cauliflower, but now you love it. Sometimes you can find the Bible can be like that in our lives. And the more I consume it, the more I have an appetite for it. So one of the other powerful elements that God teaches us about the bread is in the wilderness. You don't just need bread from time to time, or you don't want stale old bread. You need and want fresh bread daily. When God was providing that miracle manna from heaven, they were told not to get extra to save for another day, for it would get moldy. So what God was teaching us here is that He desires a fresh daily relationship with each and every single one of you. That means that every day we have to surrender to Jesus. We have to reestablish our relationship with Jesus. We have to recommit our lives to Jesus every day because we are all sinners. Amen. So maybe you need a reading plan. But after we learn to consume and take in God's Word, and I'm wrapping up here. Consistently, the second key way that we engage and unlock the living and active power of the Bible is to let it consume you. You see, this verse in John shows us and calls us to be consumed by the presence of God and His Word. To not just allow Jesus to visit you on Sabbath for church, but to invite Him to move in and take ownership of your heart and your life. You see, another way to look at the importance of allowing God's Word to live in us is by considering another principle that the Bible talks about a lot, which is the concept of sowing and planting a seed. Jesus, He goes on and He refers to something here. He refers to the Word as bread, but another key thing that is called is a seed. It may start small, but it grows up and takes over the entire garden. And many people don't get the benefits from the seed of God's Word because they don't plant it into their very lives. Mercy. And David said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart." The Word of God does its transformative work as it's planted and buried deep into our lives. We need the Word of God. So then you're going to want to plant what you want to grow. Go ahead, Grace. Go ahead. You see, when we plant the word, the seeds of the world, like fear, lust, and insecurity, and lies, you will see that you are growing in your life. If you want the life of God, then you must plant His word in your life. I'll say amen for you. If you want the life of God, then you must plant His word in your heart. We cannot come into contact with the Word on a consistent basis and not be fully changed by it. For when you plant God's Word in your heart, you will see it produce incredible fruit. Amen. For the Word of God is living and it is active in our lives today. And I want you to consider these few areas that the Word of God is impacting and transforming our lives and in saving your soul. For James 1:21 says, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you." It's renewing your mind. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brother and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well, pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world." Amen. "But be by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and His purpose for each and every single one of you." Amen. In Hebrews 1 verse 3, it's sustaining your body, "For the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." Amen. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. For it stabilizes our steps. And again, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Brothers and sisters, in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, it says, "So as my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Brothers and sisters, that's just a very quick list of the kind of activity that God's word can accomplish. You see, the key is to consume the word and then allow that word to dominate and consume our lives. And then you will be able to notice the word of God taking root in your life when the way you speak begins to sound more like the word of God than the words coming from the world or your family or the culture that we live in. You see, Jesus is calling us to His heart. Jesus is calling us near to Him. And as we wrap up today, it's key to know that while His Word is living and actively working in our life and for you, it's also been given to us to draw our hearts closer to God and encounter His presence. So God's Word isn't just teaching us about Him, is it? It's an invitation to come close and know Him. And the more you engage in God's Word, the more you will encounter His presence. And if we are going to go out and be Bible workers, if we are going to go out and tell somebody about Jesus, we have to be consumed by the Word of God. I'll say amen for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word today. And each of us want to make a commitment to be consumed by Your word and by Your Holy Spirit. And Father, I may sound like a broken record, and I know that it can be cliche, but we just need Jesus. We just need the Holy Spirit, and we need to be consumed by the truth that we can only get from Your word. Father, I pray in a mighty way that you will continue to pour out your Holy Spirit in each session today and into the rest of the week. And I pray in a mighty way that you will hide Pastor Abner behind the cross of Calvary so that we will only see Jesus in his presentation this morning. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. We give him the glory, we give him the honor and the praise. Amen and amen. Five-minute break. All right, we're going to take a quick five-minute break. And we'll be back as Pastor Abner has a presentation. Effective visits.